This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, everybody, to episode 87 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
This is Diane.
And this is Steve.
How's everyone doing?
Were you just singing there?
No.
It sounded very, like, melodic.
No.
It did.
Maybe a little bit.
It didn't sound like singing to me, or at least not what I would consider singing.
Ouch. Burn.
Well, Steve, you said you weren't singing.
Hey, Steve, look.
With you.
Look, Steve, okay.
I can't see you, so looking through the internet doesn't really work real well.
Okay, well, I've got a joke based on our discussion from Wednesday, which was released Thursday, okay?
Right.
So a giraffe walks into a bar and goes to sleep on the floor. Two men walk in, and the first one says, "Hey, who's that lion on the floor?" The other says, "That's not a lion, that's a giraffe."
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
You see, Diane, on in the midweek episode, Steve and I were talking about giraffes. So.
I do remember that because I listened to it.
Oh, good job. But anyway, I want to thank Pearl for sending that one in and sharing that with us. Thank you, Pearl.
Thank you, Pearl.
And, of course, before we get going, I have a quick announcement, something I haven't announced on a past episode. It is that the Podcast Award nominations are open right now, and it would be a great honor if all of you could take a minute of your time, because that's really all it takes. Go to podcastawards.com, scroll down, and right now we're asking that you nominate us in two categories. People's Choice, which is the big award of the night, and then also entertainment, which is a subcategory. Literally, all you have to do, take a minute of your time, go to those two categories, type in that you want to nominate Taylor Talk, Taylor Swift Podcast, type in our URL, www.taylortalk.org, scroll down to the bottom, submit it. Well, and you got to enter your name and email, but don't worry, they don't spam you. It's fine. I've already been on there and tested it. So they're not going to spam you. It's just to verify that you're an actual person and nobody on our end is setting up some cool bot to like vote for us a million times. So if you guys could please take a minute of your time, we'd really appreciate it. Start begging Steve and Diane. Please beg them.
I'm not going to beg. No, I'm not going to grovel. I'm just going to say it would make me extremely happy if you would do that for us, if you want to. And I hope you want to.
That was a very nice way to word it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So before we get going with our Red Tour discussion, part two, we do want to put our little disclaimer on it. Right now, we're going to do the news, the mini segments, all that stuff that won't spoil the Red Tour for you before we get to the Red Tour talk. So if you're in it for that and you don't want to be spoiled, listen, it'll be about, you know, what? We'll be here about 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes discussing the news and minis and all that. And then we're going to get to the Red Tour. At that point, we're going to give you another disclaimer and be like, hey, if you don't want to hear this, shut it off, all right? Everyone's good with that? I hope so, because here we go. Diane, what's been going on in the news lately?
Well, first of all, the soundtrack for the film One Chance will be released in the UK on October 21st. This soundtrack includes the song that Taylor Swift wrote for the film, which is called Sweeter Than Fiction.
Whoa, new Taylor music coming soon. Because we had the discussion about it, I got to ask, is that verified?
I would say it is 100% verified because the website where I found it was a site where you could actually buy the album. So I would assume, hopefully, that site is not going to steal your money. And if you pay for the album, you will get the album on October.
They're actually going to send it to you. That's good. So, can we link to that in the episode guide, Diane?
Of course.
Okay. Where can people find that, Diane?
They can find that on taylortalk.org/episode87.
Excellent.
Thank you. In other exciting news for UK Swifties, Taylor just added another show to her London O2 performances. The Red Tour will be in London on February 1st, 2nd, 4th, and the 10th.
Woo woo, 4 shows.
Woo!
So what do you guys think about her adding a 4th show in London rather than another date elsewhere in England?
I think it makes sense. I mean, she had 4 shows that were in Los Angeles, and I'm not saying that LA is the same size as London, but I mean, they're...
I think LA is bigger than the entire United Kingdom in terms of population.
Okay.
There's what, like 20 million people in LA?
Probably, but I mean, they're both huge cities. So it just makes sense that she would need another show. And, you know, the UK has a great train system, so people, I'm sure, can come in from all over to see her shows in London.
All over England, you
mean? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm not coming from Vegas. Well, I looked into airfare already. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
I actually looked into it. It was like $1,200 round trip. I was like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thank you for the news, Diane. Steve, if you could give us our first mini segment, please.
Okay, our first one comes from Forever Enchanted 13 on Taylor Connect. And it's, you know, you're a Swiftie when you don't know why you freak out when a Taylor song comes on the radio, because you can listen to it whenever you want to. But it's always so weirdly exciting to hear her on the radio, don't you think?
Yes, I do think. Occasionally.
No, it's always
no,
cool.
I know what she's saying.
I like it too, and I don't think it's that weird that you know, think it's awesome because you're not planning on listening to her music, but it just happens, and that surprise is really nice.
Yeah, surprise! And plus, everybody gets to hear it too, so, you know, if it comes on the radio, you're like, think of all the people that are hearing the same Taylor song as I'm hearing it right now. You know, you go into a store, you hear it on the radio.
Oh my gosh, Steve!
Pretty much.
This next one comes from Listen to Swift 13 on Twitter, and they say, if Swifties ruled the world, girls would wear high-waisted shorts instead of shorty short Abercrombie shorts and cat sweaters.
Ooh, that Abercrombie.
Darn that Abercrombie.
Darn that Abercrombie. All right, next one is from @Swift_lover on Twitter, who says, you know you're Swiftie when you spaz out your phone when you accidentally exit the program playing Taylor Talk or Taylor.
I've done that, too.
That's a problem.
Yep. You've accidentally exited while listening to Taylor Talk? How dare you guys?
Well, I just said, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there and I hit the wrong button. I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. Or, you know, actually what happens to me a lot is my headphone, like, I gets caught on something and it pulls out of the jack and then the episode completely stops. And I'm like, rah!
Yeah, but at least iPhones are programmed where when that happens, it pauses right where you are.
Well, it's good, but then I still have to plug it in and I have to go back in and hit play again. You know, you plug in the headphone, you would think that it would start playing again.
Right.
Yeah. Mr. Apple fanboy.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yes. I guess I can do the next one here. The next one is from, I'm not really going to be good with names here, huh? This is on Twitter. Brian Dubanswick.
Benwick?
just kind of like trying my best there. You know you're a Swiftie if you ran out to the store to buy the Taylor Swift diet soda. Oh, that's one I'm still trying to do. I've been to about 5 or 6 grocery stores. I mean, that's about all I have in my town. So,
well, Steve, according to Coca-Cola's official Twitter account, not Diet Coke, the actual Coca-Cola account, they said it should be available in most Walmarts. Not all, but most Walmarts.
Well, it wasn't in my Walmart. Actually, on Taylor Connect, there's actually 1 or 2 threads going around about it, and one of the people on there, I forget their name unfortunately, or I'd give them a shout out, they found it at Walgreens, so that makes sense, because Walgreens has always carried all the other Taylor merch,
stuff,
so,
yeah,
so it makes sense. So I think it's probably at a lot of different grocery stores and such, just not the ones I shop at.
Right.
Interesting.
Well, Steve, I will give you at least credit on that Twitter name of pronouncing Brian correctly.
Okay.
That is always a tough word.
That's a start.
The last name we'll work on.
Next time. I'm sure he'll submit something else, and I'll try better next time.
Okay, the next submission comes from Caitlin, also known as Stay Fearless 1334 on Taylor Connect. And she says, you know you're a Swiftie when someone says Taylor has no talent, and you reply, haters gonna hate.
Oh, snap.
Ooh.
Good work.
Nice.
Haters gonna hate. That's actually a great one, because I've been asked on several occasions by Swifties around the community, like, what do you say when somebody insults Taylor? What's your comeback? And I'm like, I don't really have one, but that's a good one. And it sort of encompasses everything. You don't have to be like, oh, she's got a zillion Grammys and awards and blah, 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 and she's done all this listing off accomplishments. You just gotta be like, haters gonna hate.
Well, both would work there. I mean, you can back it with facts or just, hey, haters gonna hate.
For sure, Steve. Good call. Anyway, the last one of the episode, Mary emailed us. Mary from Canada. Hi, Mary. And she said, you know you're Swiftie when? Posting updates about Taylor Swift has become a part-time job.
That's my part-time job.
Oh my gosh, tell me about it. I'll be straight up honest with you here, Mary. Taylor Talk is like a full-time job. I think I come pretty close to 40 hours a week on this. A lot of work.
Do you get like healthcare benefits?
From who, Steve? Are you going to offer them to me?
I don't know. You're the one that runs it. Actually, you should be offering them to us.
Except Adam doesn't pay us.
Adam doesn't pay himself. There's no money here.
Gosh darn it.
Oh.
I know.
We just do it because we love Taylor Swift.
Yes. Oh, Taylor, we love you. Anyway, thank you to everybody who sent in for the mini segments. Keep them coming, guys. You know where to send them. And if you don't, visit taylortalk.org and check them out. We'll recap them all at the end of the episode. But for those of you that are tuning out early, taylortalk.org has all the contact methods. Finally, before we get to our main discussion, we got a What Are Swifties Listening To submission. Isaac emailed us and suggested a band called The 1975. Steve, have you heard of it? You were the one alive back then.
I knew you were going to go there with that. And no, I was not alive in 1975.
Anyway, the band is called The 1975. Isaac particularly pointed out a song called The Girls. And I listened to it briefly. I really only listened to the iTunes preview. Can't say I listened to the whole thing. And it was like kind of catchy and popish. So if that's your thing, go check it out for sure. Thank you to Isaac for sending that in. Now, our main event. No?
Adam and his voices.
Welcome to the main event. Anyway. So
now
for those,
it sounds too ghostly. It needs to be like, let's get ready to rumble.
Okay. Anyway, so for those who don't want to participate in the Red Tour discussion because you're either going to see it in Australia, New Zealand, or the UK, well, we'll see you guys on Thursday for our midweek mini. For those who want to stick around, we're going to take up part two here, starting with the wild card song, which was the first. Was that the first song she played on the B stage?
Yes, it was.
After 22 finished. We left off on 22 last week, starting with the wild card song, which, okay, guys, let's talk about it for a sec, because we can't really discuss the song itself, because there wasn't a particular song, unless you want to consider our song the official song of the wild card segment.
Oh, my God.
Just about.
But one thing I'd like to get your opinion on, Diane and Steve, is this whole wild card concept where Taylor plays a song. Well, I guess I should explain what it is, right?
Sure.
During the wild card song, Taylor would play a song that is not in the standard set list. It could have been one of her earlier songs, like off the Taylor Swift or Fearless or Speak Now albums. Did she ever play anything that's not in the set list off of Red?
Wait, that's, what do you mean not? Wait, can you restate your question? I'm confused. That's,
why are you always confused?
Well, because you stated it funny. That's not in the set list of Red? What?
No, the set list of the Red Tour. Did she ever play anything from the Red album that wasn't on the tour set list?
Yes, because you were at a concert where she did that.
What did she play?
She, for the last night in Nashville, she played Sad, Sad, Beautiful, Tragic. For the first night in Omaha, she played I Almost Do. She's played
okay,
Starlight.
Okay, okay.
And then, hey, hold on.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
She also played Stay, Stay, Stay once, acoustic, when she took that off the set list. So, yes, Adam, she did.
Okay, that wasn't the point. I was just trying to explain what the wild card song was, which I don't even know if wild card song is the official name for it. I don't know if that's what Taylor called it.
Yeah, it's like special song, secret song, wild card.
Yeah, but we've heard everything.
Anyway, tuning back to the discussion, what I wanted to get your opinions on is, what do you think of her doing this versus on the Speak Now tour where she did a cover song each show?
I like it because I think it gives her a chance to play songs that either she is in the mood to play, that she's written herself, or songs that fans want her to play, you know? Because, I mean, I think one
of the... Well, what did you like better?
Oh, between Speak Now and this one?
Do you like that she plays her earlier music better, or do you like when she does the cover better?
I like it when she plays her earlier music better because it means that I will 100% know the song. And if it's a song that she covers, then I won't know the words, or I might not know the words. I could know it.
Well, you could say the same with a guest on tour, that you don't know the words to their song because she always plays one of their songs, not her own.
That's true.
I'm going to go with the opposite view on that. I actually like the covers better. I'm always interested in getting into the psyche of Taylor and like knowing what she likes in music. That's what it's always cool. It's like where her influences came from and such. That's what I like about when she does the covers, because obviously she's going to cover a song that means something to her and that kind of stuff. And you know, we know that her songs mean something to us, but what songs mean something to Taylor?
That's a good point, Steve. What songs mean something to Taylor? And I also like it because, you know, if we have any new listeners that have only picked up on Taylor Talk even within the last couple months, they may not know that the What Are Swifties Listening To segment was inspired by the Speak Now tour, where she did cover songs, because her purpose of doing cover songs was to introduce her fans to music that wasn't hers, to other artists. And that's the purpose of our What Are Swifties Listening To segment as well, where Swifties can share music other than Taylor with each other through, well, us.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So, I mean, that inspired me. Her doing the Wild Card song was just kind of more of a nice treat.
Okay.
Both work for us. Maybe next tour, maybe mix it up and actually do a little bit of both. Or, heck, do a cover song and do some Wild Card song. That would be awesome.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Okay. So, after the Wild Card song, she brought Ed Sheeran back out for Everything Has Changed. Thoughts?
I thought it was really sweet, just the way they sang it together. I liked their, I don't know, their bond on stage and the way they performed it. Something I thought was really cool that doesn't have that doesn't have to do with the music is the fact that the B stage rose up, you know, so she could, I guess, see the fans that were seated in the nosebleed sections a little bit closer. So I just
how dare
nice.
You call it the nosebleed section?
That's what everybody calls it.
Except Ticketmaster, they don't call it the nosebleed section. They call it the upper level.
Hey Steve, because you're intelligent and you'll know the answer, I want to try and quiz Diane and see if you know why those sections are referred to as the nosebleed section all the way at the up at the top.
Ooh.
Oh, you're trying to quiz me?
I'm quizzing you to see if you know, because you're using the slang term nosebleed section for the higher seats, the upper level seats, and I want to know if you know the origin of that
term. Aren't
you
more susceptible to get a nosebleed if you're in higher altitude?
Yes, that's actually correct. Anyway, back to the episode.
Why did you think I wouldn't know that?
I don't know.
Because maybe you thought like people like punched each other up there like it was a mosh pit. No. That's down below. That's the pit. That would be the nosebleed section.
Yeah, right.
No, not
the
not
black
a
eye section.
Not at a Taylor concert, but other concerts I know they call that more of the mosh, and you know, sometimes people are pushing and shoving in there and crowd surfing, all sorts of stuff, but not so much for the Taylor Swift show.
So here's another question for you guys about Everything Has Changed. She did it on the B stage, brought Ed Sheeran out, they each had their acoustic guitars and just went with it, right? They played it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Everything Has Changed has been released internationally as a single, has been released as a remix here in the U.S. as a single. It had a music video to it. So, did you guys expect it to be a B-stage song, which is them and their guitars, or did you expect it to be a full production like she does for her songs that she, well, you know, without Ed?
You know what? I actually never thought about that.
Because, like, in my mind, I would have liked to see a whole production, like she does with up on the main stage. However, I feel like that might have been really hard. Like, you know, I would have expected it before the tour. But then after the tour and after seeing Ed open and see how he does his thing, he doesn't do a big, huge production. He does him and his instrument. And right. So I don't know if she could have easily incorporated Ed Sheeran into one of her big production numbers on the main stage.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily Ed's normal style to get out there and have a whole big thing with, you know, backup dancers and what. I'm not saying that this song would have had backup dancers, because that would have been a little weird.
Well, why do you call them backup dancers? That doesn't make sense, because they're the dancers, Why would they be the backup dancers? That would be like the people that would be in case the dancers aren't able to dance. They have backup dancers.
Steve, don't veer off topic on something stupid like that.
You're just getting nitpicky. You can call them dancers. You can call them backup dancers because they're not the main thing.
How about you call them the people who move to the music?
There you go.
All right. Anyway, that was just something I was curious about. Everything has changed because I figured it's got such a strong storyline to it, strong enough that it did have a music video and is a single and all that, that I just wanted to know if you guys had an opinion, which I don't think you do. Only I did, apparently. But
I could go either way with it. I mean, it was a nice, intimate setting back there in the B stage, so it worked. But if it was a full production number, I would have been fine with that, too. Both would have been awesome.
Sure. Now, next song in the lineup was Begin Again, which we know, again, that's actually another one that was a single with a music video and everything like that was done on the B stage. However, that did have a little more of a production to it. It had all the screens in the background showing Paris scenery, and it had a very similar vibe to the music video. I think it was very much based on the music video, or assuming whatever their timeline was of planning the tour, maybe even the music video was based on Taylor's idea for the tour. I don't know, but that's kind of what went on. So
now she did cut that, at least in Nashville there. What was it? The last two nights, didn't she cut that song?
Yeah, she did.
I think that's because she was sick, though.
Okay.
And she just wanted to cut the set list. So she
like last week, Steve, you remember we talked about Stay, Stay, Stay being cut, and we're speculating on why, but that was cut very early on. That wasn't, you know, something like, oh, Taylor's sick, she's trying to tone it down a little bit. And and if, you know, I don't want to go too crazy here, but if what I've read throughout social media is correct, she did tell someone in Club Red that night that she was afraid she wouldn't be able to hit the high note. So I'm trying to think, does Begin Again have any high notes that maybe she would have struggled with while she was sick?
Yes, it does, but I can't do it.
Well, which part? Can you tell us
the,
which lyrics?
The part where
go?
She goes, what is it? And we walked down the block to my car and I almost brought up.
Oh, and we walked down the block. Okay.
Locked goes really high.
Yeah, so it could have just been she didn't feel she was vocally able to do it. Because, I mean, if she's going to cut anything for her health because she's exhausted from being sick and blah, 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 whatever, right? She's going to cut one of the big production numbers, not something she sits on the B stage with her guitar.
Plus, it's a slower song, so Adam's probably not a huge fan of Begin Again.
No, I do like it a little bit.
A little bit. Are you lying?
No, I love Begin Again.
Okay, good.
I love Begin Again, Steve. It's a great song. But anyway, just if I'm speculating on that, though, Steve, I'm going to assume that was because she didn't feel she was vocally up for it more than anything. But do you guys have anything else to say on that, Begin Again?
I think that's good.
Okay, Sparks Fly. Now we're at the transition back to the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I thought that was great that of all the older songs she could have chosen, Sparks Fly was one of them.
Still one of my favorites ever.
I really like it, yeah. You know, so let's talk briefly about what happened during it. She got on this big platform. I don't even know what to call it.
It's almost like a platform, flying platform, balcony. I don't, yeah. It's
yeah, a platform, and yeah. She was lifted over the audience back to the main stage. So I thought that was really cool. She seems to love doing something like that, because on the last tour she did it,
during
Love Story at the finale. So I thought that was pretty neat getting to do that.
And then she has another chance to say hi to the nosebleed people.
Yeah.
Upper levels, nosebleed people.
But one of the things I was thinking of when we were prepping for this episode and I was going back through the YouTube videos kind of watching is the fact that I think maybe she inserted Sparks Fly. She needed a transition song to get back to the main stage, right?
Right.
Needed something there rather than just walking by and being like, oh, hey, guys, I'm just walking through here. So I was actually thinking maybe it was a great choice because she wanted the songs off of Red to be the big production numbers. And when she's transitioning, there wasn't really a whole huge production she could do with Sparks Fly.
I mean, the only thing that she had was, you know, the sparks that were on the main stage, like the big.
Yes, she did have sparks flying. No pun intended.
Perfect. Ha-ha! Like, that's all she needs for that song.
It is. You're right. She did have those when she got back on stage at the end, but overall, it wasn't quite as big a production as, you know, the Red songs were up on that main stage. And I think that's totally fine. And you know, I liked seeing this rendition of it versus on the Speak Now tour where she used it as the opener and it was a huge production.
Right. You know, she comes out of the floor there and Speak Now and everything else like that. And this, it even started out just like a little acoustic too, which was kind of cool, where it was like just like the first couple bars and just, you know, drop everything now. And then all of a sudden it was like everything just kind of picks up from there.
Right. So moving along, we have Back to the Big Productions, probably one of the biggest productions of the night. I Knew You Were Trouble, Steve. I mean, my first impression of that was it was the same as the award shows, but that's not a complaint.
No, this performance was hot.
Diane,
she was awesome. Like, yep. Taylor, I know she's not one to dance, but she worked it out, and she had that cute black leotard on or whatever with the boots. Like, she really went for it. And I was very impressed.
So for those who haven't seen it, basically it's an almost white and black, light and dark, good versus evil type thing where she starts off in a white dress, does this whole dance thing, and they have that whole masquerade ball theme going. And then what a little bit into it, you know, it's a tear apart dress she's wearing. And then she ends up in that hot, sexy black leather thing that Diane was just talking about.
I don't know if it's leather. Let's not get crazy, but yeah,
it could be pleather.
It's probably pleather, just fabric.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was great. And another thing that I loved about this performance is they kind of changed up the song itself. Like, it's not the actual song that's on her CD. Like, they do something different with it. It's probably like the guitars or the drums, or they add some other sound that just, I guess, makes it more intense and more powerful. And more
well,
hot.
It's the whole dubstep. They actually like extend like the little bit of dubstep that they had in the original version. And there's like whole like long verses and bars of just nothing but the crazy dubstep. And it's even like heavier than the stuff that's on the album. I'd love to see if they'd actually like release like the live, you know, I Knew You Were Trouble remix. Like, that thing is just like, you want to get in your car and you just want to like blast that and like fly down the highway. It's awesome.
Well, Steve, not to veer off topic too much, but I would like to see, based on the success of the Speak Now World Tour DVD and CD, you know, I'd like to see one for the Red Tour. I know we've talked about that on a past episode, speculating on whether or not, but the more I think about it, the stronger I think the chance is, simply based on the success. You know, they're not going to argue with demand, and if people like you, Steve, want to see I Knew You Were Trouble again and blast it in your car going down the highway, you know, the demand is there for it. Why wouldn't they make it?
I really want them to.
So, back to the production itself. Wow. Like, I don't even know what to say about it. It was just very, very cool. Fun act. Do you guys remember about partway through when they have that smoke thing blow out of the stage?
Oh my gosh. When we were in the pit for...
San Diego.
Yeah.
I went deaf.
It scared me so much because we were right next to it. And I was like, what was that? But you don't know this stuff unless you're up that close and it freaks you out, but...
Yeah.
About that.
It was loud. Very, very loud. So,
and it has all those cool chandeliers, too. That was another part that really makes that whole scene really a neat atmosphere.
It was like an updated, sexy masquerade ball crossed with Phantom of the Opera.
I was going to say, it kind of had a Phantom of the Opera sort of look and feel to it, too. It was cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And something very neat about it is... You know, even though I do say it was similar to the award show performances she did of the same song, it was still very different from everything else on the Red Tour. So I would definitely say if anyone hasn't seen that one, it's definitely one worth checking out on YouTube or in the episode guide at taylortalk.org/episode87.
Which will be the same video that will be
shameless
on YouTube.
Plug.
Yeah, shameless plug, but I was planning on announcing it at the end, of course, but we are going to have the videos of all these songs we're discussing in the episode guide, but you guys already knew that, didn't you? Smart audience. Smarter than us sometimes. They actually, well, correct us quite often. Well, correct me.
Correct you when you're wrong, which is pretty much all the time.
I'm never wrong, Steve. I know a lot about Taylor Swift.
You do. You are pretty good.
Okay, Steve. Next song in the lineup is one I'm actually really excited to talk about, contrary to Steve's belief about me not liking slow songs. But All Too Well.
Oh.
Diane's tearing up just thinking about it right now. All Too Well featured Taylor alone on the stage at a big red piano that had a really cool gold gear thing in it. I can't even describe
that was
it. You'll
neat.
Have to look at it. And it was just Taylor and the piano, and it was probably, arguably, one of the most powerful performances in there, because either Taylor is the world's best actor...
Actor.
It's remember, we live in a world where we need one title, like flight attendant versus steward and stewardess, and...
Because men and women are equal.
Okay.
No, anyway, Steve, they're actually not to, again, not to veer off topic, but there is a modern movement right now, a whole push for using the term actor for both male and females.
Huh.
Why? I don't know, because men and women are in fact different, but it falls under that politically correct category where we're equal and we have to go by the same title. Anyway,
gotcha.
So either Taylor is the best actor slash actress in the world, or she was legitimately still feeling the pain of that relationship that went south.
Hmm.
I mean, I caught photos of it, of her, and you can see, I mean, she's tearing up. She's very emotional. She's very sweaty from dancing around it. I Knew You Were Trouble right before it. It's actually kind of gross. She's very, like, wet, and her hair is wet.
Okay, Adam, okay.
All right, that's enough.
Anyway, but you could see the emotion in it.
Yeah, you really can. And there's a moment, I want to say, near the end of the song where she pauses and just looks out at all of us, and we all cheer, and she just looks so sad and vulnerable and...
And what do you think of that cheering, Diane?
Well, what do I think of it? Okay. Steve, I think you had a problem with this cheering, right? We talked about this.
Oh, yeah,
Nashville.
It was Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, it was Steve.
I'm the one that was kind of like, I don't know. Like, you know, it seems like, you know, as Diane was saying, to be so that she's so sad and everything else like that. And it's almost to me like you want to be somber and just respect it with silence. You know, when she just like stops, you want to stop too and just don't say anything. And then, like, people, like, cheer really loud. So, you know, to me, I get a little confused with that. I do understand why they do it, which, Diane, if you want to go ahead and explain the reason for the cheering, go ahead.
Well, I think the reason they cheer is not necessarily to fill the space in the song or to do, you know, that they're not, that they don't know why she's sad. But I think it's more of a support cheer, like, saying, like, Taylor, we love you. Like, we've totally been there. We understand. Like, it's okay.
Right.
Kind of the thing.
I agree with you, Diane. I think it's showing support to Taylor rather than clapping like, yeah, she's so sad right now.
Right, Nobody like, does that.
No, it's got nothing to do with that. It's like showing, hey, you know what? Someone hurt you, but there's, you know, 20,000 of us out here tonight that are supporting you.
Right.
That's really sweet. That's going to make me cry.
Or 1.3 million total across the whole tour.
Exactly.
Wow.
So All Too Well, I mean, gosh, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what could put into words the emotion that you can see on her face, you know. And there's not much else to talk about in this song, really, because it was just her and her emotion and her piano and her singing. And
there is something we could talk about. How do you guys think this song would have done if she had, you know, some more set pieces or like more of a story going on? Do you think that would have been as powerful, or do you think it would have taken away from her performance?
I think it would have taken away. I think sole intent all along was to have Taylor and her emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I just figured I'd ask.
No, that's a very fair question.
Playing the devil's advocate, if you will.
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely a fair question. However, you know, I think, you know, Taylor's very strategic with her planning of the show. And I think more so than that, you know, if you go from I Knew You Were Trouble to All Too Well, and then we'll get to Love Story in just a sec, which was next, there's a massive costume change. Now, Taylor can change at the speed of light. However, the other, like, 20 people on stage take time because there's a lot of them. So I think that was also part of why it wasn't a production with other people on stage with her.
Right, because they needed time to prepare for the next production.
Right.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, do you guys have anything else on All Too Well before we get a love story?
Just that it was beautiful.
It was.
All Too Well. Sorry.
It's okay.
It happens from time to time. So Love Story was a very unique twist versus Love Story on the Speak Now tour. Because Love Story on the Speak Now tour, you'll remember, was very fairy tale like. It had the balcony and the whole princess and prince type theme to it. And I'm not saying this didn't have a princess prince theme, but they did it in a very different fashion. It started with a giant jack-in-the-box on the stage. And all the dancers, not the backup dancers, but the dancers.
Well, because at that moment, they were the stars. They weren't backing up anybody. They were doing their solo.
Okay. Anyway, so actually, I should rewind. There were actually two dancers on the stage before the Jack in the Box, right?
Yes, there were.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So two dancers do a ballet number. Very, very nice. Really cool stuff. They did some very unique flippy type
and stunts, things. Yeah. Jumps and catches and stuff.
Forgive me for not knowing the ballet terminology for the moves they were doing. But it was cool nonetheless. And then they had this big old jack-in-the-box in the center of the main stage. And the other dancers came out from under the stage through the jack-in-the-box. And they came out as like wind-up toys with these big giant wind-up things on their back.
Isn't it more of a music box than a jack-in-the-box?
Okay,
the jack-in-the-box has that clown that pops out, you know, music box. Because it played
scary.
That real like music boxy sounding music.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Steve, and I'm glad you brought that up, because speaking of the music, it was actually Diane told me about this. Our friend Nathan, Steve, you know Nathan, of course, you're the one that introduced us to him.
Mm-hmm.
He made a comment about how it's very ominous and a little bit creepy.
It is. The music that is before Love Story, which is actually not part of the song, it's just like a little, I guess, intro piece. It's very scary, and it almost makes you feel like something bad is going to happen, or there's something wrong with these toys.
It makes me feel like I'm in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, or some horror movie or something, but there's nothing bad that happens, and nothing's wrong. So I think maybe what they were trying to go for with that kind of scary music was more of a mysterious feeling, but it went a little bit too far and got into scary.
Yeah. Do you know what's unfortunate about this performance? Well, not the performance itself, but unfortunate for me at least, was it was one of my favorite performances of the night, based on the fact that it was so unique and it's a song that I really, really enjoy and love. But I finally took a video of it, like the whole thing, and I did so good, holding the camera steady, as tired as my arms got. And then later on, before I had a chance to transfer it from my computer, I went to delete photos from my computer or from my camera, and I did not know my camera calls video photos also, and deleted my videos from the night too.
Did you really?
Oh. Yeah, fortunately, anything unique. That was the same night. I filmed it the same night that Luke Bryan came out in Nashville. Fortunately, I did, in fact, get Luke Bryan onto my computer, and that was the only unique thing that I filmed, because, you know, every other thing you can see on YouTube anyway. It would have just been nice to have my own video.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, back to this. There's a couple things I want to throw out there.
Go for it.
First, Love Story, I have a love-hate relationship with this song. I love this song, have always loved this song, until the Speak Now tour. And I love the performance and everything like that, but I was always disappointed because it was the last song. So when I hear this song like start, I'm like, oh no, the Red Show is over. Like, it just always like gets me sad. But then the good part is, like, I've enjoyed it now because I'm like, it's not over. There's other songs after this.
There's only, two other songs after
this.
Yeah,
but at least there's other songs. It's not like the end. It's not like she's going up in the balcony around the crowd and then that's the end. So I feel better about that. The other thing that I like about this whole little music box thing is, if you notice, originally when they come out of there, they are, like, wind up and it's like they're not human. And then after a while, like, the dancers start taking the wind-up keys off of each other. Like, it's like almost like they've become human and have escaped, because they all are like so happy once the keys are taken off the back of them.
That's really interesting, Steve. I never even noticed that before, and I'm glad you're pointed it out, because that's a new twist on just the concept of it being a love story.
Yeah, see? That could be very metaphorical.
Like, I think it is. I think there's more to it.
You don't feel alive until you find love, and then you can be alive.
Ooh, I like that, Diane.
That's like the English degree in her talking right now. but it is a fair point to point out the fact that it's very metaphorical, because like we said, Steve, like you said with the balcony and everything, you know, on the Speak Now tour, it was a very literal interpretation. It was literally like a Romeo and Juliet type thing, where this is far more unique and interesting.
And I think that's what's kind of cool overall, is usually like the songs that she's put on the Red Tour that were from previous albums or previous tours for that matter, she put a new interpretation on it. May it be the new interpretation of Love Story, or the a little bit new interpretation to Sparks Fly, at least how it starts out, or which, you know, You Belong With Me in her interpretation of that. She really kind of changes it in this tour with some of her classic songs.
And do you know what's really quite interesting about that, Steve?
What's that?
Is the fact that they are her songs that she wrote based on something she was feeling, something she was experiencing, something she was thinking. Yet even she can interpret her own music in different ways. I find that to be a very unique talent, because if it were me personally and I wrote something, you know, I don't write music, but say I wrote a story or an essay or something, every time I would read it through, I would read it in the mindset of how I was when I was writing it, because I know that that's what it's about and that's what it means. So I think that's a very unique talent she has, to reinterpret her own writing.
And reinvent the, you know, the production of it. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. And we know from, you know, past interviews and such, she is very, very involved. And I'm sure there are other people involved in the production that can help along with the interpretation. But I think at its core, every performance comes from her mind.
Absolutely.
And people just kind of help with some of the more technical stuff and to add to her ideas. So that's Love Story. Oh, actually, you know what? One more thing on Love Story. Did you guys notice she was barefoot?
I did notice that.
She wasn't wearing any shoes. It's Ooh. A good thing there was nothing sharp or anything on stage, no needles or anything.
Yeah, I hope not. I have one more comment. It's kind of more of a side note. I noticed for this performance of Love Story, she used the pop version of the song as opposed to the like the first one.
Really?
The original. Yeah.
Hmm.
Nice. I don't know what the reason was for that, but I just thought I would make a note of it.
Maybe just to make it different from Speak Now.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Now that's Love Story.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Next on the lineup was Treacherous, which you guys will remember started with a piano solo. Which
it did, with lots of stars. And the first time that I saw this performance, I thought, okay, this is a little bit misleading. Because there's a whole bunch of stars, and you think, oh, Starlight. But no.
You're right. I remember when I did see it for the first time, I was like, Starlight! And then, oh, nope.
Nope.
Yeah. It's like, just kidding. Haha, Taylor pulled a JK on us. So, anyway, it does start with that piano solo, which we mentioned in last week's episode, because we were talking about, Steve, you remember Amos's bass solo during Stay, Stay, Stay that ended up getting cut, so he got gypped out of his solo. So, piano solo was cool. I think it was a space filler while Taylor maybe made a wardrobe change or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Then she comes out. You guys remember the main stairs in the middle lift up, and she comes out of, like, a tunnel with this fog. And
this light, like this single white light, too.
She looks like an angel descending from heaven.
Okay, Adam.
But then she comes out, and she makes a little attempt at being a ballerina.
Yeah, she does a lot of hand motions in this song. A lot of, like, graceful gestures and over her head and whatnot. And I don't know.
At the beginning, she actually does the leg thing where she, like, lifts her leg. Forgive me for my lack of ballet knowledge.
I think it's called a passe when she brings her foot to her knee. Is that the move you're talking about?
Yeah, if that's what it's called. Okay. I can't verify if you're accurate or not with your term.
I hope I am.
Ballerina, I am not. Now, Steve is a ballerina, but that's a discussion for another day.
No, I can't dance. I can't do anything.
So something I did think that was interesting with this performance, though, and you guys can chime in with your opinions as well, is the background scenery on the big screens in the background. It was just like body parts.
They weren't body parts. I think they were other people trying to tightrope walk, like Taylor was trying to tightrope walk.
Right.
Or make us believe she was tightrope walking, because she really wasn't.
Is that what she was doing?
Yeah.
So go ahead, Steve.
It was like a balance beam thing, you know? Like, she was like, you know.
It was a very wide balance beam. It was like 3 feet wide.
Right, but she was also up in the air. The thing lifts up.
That's true. Do you think that was deliberate? Do you think that ramp thing that lifts up that she walks on was supposed to be the slope that is treacherous?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Absolutely.
It was metaphorical.
Okay.
And from a distance, especially if you view it from the sides, you really assume that it's very, very narrow. The way that she walks on it, I mean, I know that at least depending on where you're looking, it does seem to be like, what, like 2 feet wide, 3 feet wide, something like that. But, you know, it looks
very
narrow.
Oh, it's a good
narrow.
3 to 4 feet wide, Steve.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just
huge.
A safety thing. You can't have Taylor falling from like 10 feet up.
Exactly. But it looks really powerful from a distance or from a certain angle.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll go with that, Steve.
Well, I mean, for me, Steve, I guess I saw it from the wrong points or the wrong spots in the room, because I just didn't like it. I wasn't buying the whole thing where she was trying to balance herself and walk on this little tiny rope when it was really like this huge platform. I don't know.
Well,
didn't like it.
Diane, can you think of anything in the song to back up your point?
You mean in the lyrics of the song?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
Did I stump you? I stumped
you.
You
stumped
yeah.
me.
What are you trying
to
fish
Steve
for?
I stumped Steve, too. I'm actually not. I'm just trying to pick your brain, really, and see. I don't know. Maybe you guys can think of something in the song that could. I mean, we picked out, you know, this slope is treacherous. That's the obvious
this
one. And she was
reckless.
Walking down a slope, but.
Oh, it could be a path. Maybe this path is reckless. Is that what you're trying to go for?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm really just talking at this point.
Oh, good.
Obviously, yeah.
I like talking about Taylor. Now, something very strange in this performance, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, because, you know, Taylor up on that platform, that big ramp thing that was, like, what, roughly 10 feet off the stage, was definitely the focus and the center of attention. The spotlight was on her. But there were the dancers around the side of that ramp, and... You know, naturally, like, my first question is, why are there dancers for Treacherous? It's not exactly a dance number. But the second thing I noticed, do you guys notice that they are in their, like, We Are Never Getting Back Together costumes? They're dressed like clowns and circus things?
I did, and I think the reason for that is for this number, wasn't she supposed to be part of a act? You know, like a... Because they had this huge tent in the background at one point, so... I'm thinking, like, this song kind of blended into the next act and far, you know, as the theme goes.
Well, the whole tightrope walking,
yeah.
I mean, that's something, it was kind of, like, circus-y.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you see at a circus. Like, I mean, she wasn't in anything, like, she had that, was the black and white dress, so it wasn't really kind of an outfit that seemed fit for a circus, if you will. But, I don't know, I almost feel that it would have been a better song had they not had anything else other than Taylor walking on the, you know, tightrope, slippery slope, whatever we want to consider it.
Wait, so Steve, you're saying there should or should not have been the dancers there?
There should not have been the dancers in that one. I don't think they really added anything to it other than if you were trying to get that whole circus thing where it's like, oh, it's a circus and they're over here doing this and she's walking the tightrope and that. I mean, that's kind of what I think they were going for to some degree.
Well, Steve, to add to that, the fact that they didn't really add anything... I didn't even notice them, like, the first time I saw the show. Like, I didn't even think about it until I watched it on YouTube later. I never even realized there were dancers in that song.
Yeah, but a lot of times we don't notice the dancers or the other parts that are going on. Like, you know, Taylor's off on the front of the stage, so everyone's looking right at the front of the stage at Taylor. I mean, what I've found, like, as I went to more than one show... is I would look for different things, different times. I'm like, oh, okay, I know Taylor goes out and does this. Well, what are the dancers up to? What, you know, what are everyone else that's singing? And, you know, What about the band? What are they all up to? And kind of just taking little bits of everything
there. Well, Steve, that's actually, it's interesting you said that, because that's one of the biggest reasons I appreciate you selling me your ticket that was in the back of the arena.
Mm. You sound so angry.
I was giving Diane a hard time with that one. Anyway, no, I really appreciate seeing it from that perspective, because I got a chance to see the show from the pit and I got a chance to see it from the back. And from the back, you see it from such a different perspective. From the pit, you're watching Taylor the whole time. From the back, you see the whole stage as an entire production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a very different experience. And neither one is better than the other. It's just a different experience.
Right. And that I think is really what Taylor goes for in her show is, you know, there is not a bad seat in that arena or in that stadium. You can see different aspects of it from different locations, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Now, finally, the last song of the night, Steve.
Aww.
I know. Mm. However, this episode is also getting relatively long, which last week was long too. Discussions, but last song of the night was We Are Never Ever 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 Getting Back Together, and I'm gonna steal Diane's joke before she gets to make it, because
dang it.
The first thing Diane said to me after we saw the Red Tour was, isn't it a little ironic that she closes the show with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, like telling the audience we are never ever getting back together.
Never going to see you guys again. Bye.
which is the opposite of what she does on her albums, because, like, for instance, on the Red album, at least the regular one ends with Begin Again, because the whole idea is so you listen to the album again.
Right.
And this time it's pretty much like, well, thanks for seeing my show. We'll never see it again.
See you never. However, in this case, I do see why it was put at the end. It's because it is arguably the most popular song off the Red album.
Oh, it is.
If you're judging by sales and overall popularity, it was the first single. It was the first song we ever got off of Red. Wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. First song we ever got off. And it's universally liked. Like, it doesn't matter if you're big into the country music or big into the pop scene. It just, the lyrics speak to people.
Right. So, as you said, Steve, it was a big circus performance, very similar to things we've seen in award shows, with Taylor as, like, the ringleader, wearing the red jacket and the hat and all that. And it's just a huge production. Lots of dancers. No woodland creatures, though. I was shocked not to see woodland creatures, like, in the music video.
Yeah, that was different. Didn't she perform something similar to this performance at, I want to say, like, an award show in Germany back in the day? Do you guys remember?
I don't know. She plays a lot of shows.
Okay, well, never mind. I could be wrong.
I don't remember. So, I mean, was there anything, I mean, did you guys expect what you saw for that number, or did you see something you didn't expect, or what?
I wouldn't say it's something that I didn't expect, but why is a circus, why does that link to this song? Like, how does that relate? Not that it's bad, it's cool, but why?
That's a good question. I think it's just because it's fun. However, you make a valid point. I think it just as easily could have been similarly themed to the music video for it, where she was a girl in the pajamas, which are insanely popular. And those were on display in the arena, actually. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that. They were in a big glass case.
Yep, that was cool.
You know, the ones she wore in the music video that are for sale on TaylorSwift.com. But yeah, I think it could have gone that way also. But I don't know if it would have been quite as easy to incorporate the dancers and all that stuff the way she did.
I think it was much more of a big production number by doing it this way. You know, especially when all the confetti and just, like, it's just a real boom, like, you know, in your face sort of deal. Actually, I got an answer for Diane's earlier question. You were very close. It was the MTV Music Awards in Europe.
Okay.
That's where she performed it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Steve, and
so,
Google.
I'm not crazy.
No, actually, I thought it was in my head, and I was like, you know what, let me fact check this. So I went and I did a quick Google there in the meantime. So.
Okay, cool.
Well, thank you for that, Steve.
You're welcome.
So, am I crazy, or during We Are Never Getting Back Together?
Yes, you are.
Oh. No, Steve, I'm not crazy. I'm just a little unwell.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I did? Yeah. Matchbox puns? Anyway. Mm-hmm. So am I crazy, or did the Nashville shows, or maybe it was just towards the end of the tour, I don't know, but I don't remember when I saw it in San Diego, I don't remember there being hearts that fell with the confetti.
There's two sets of confetti that go out. The first one is kind of, I think, the just like the different it's like
red
the
and white
color.
Strips, right?
Something like no, that. I think the first one's like all the multicolored ones. Unless it's the hearts that come out first. It's like there's like the red hearts and the white paper, and then the other one is like the multicolor with the green and the blue and the red and all that kind of stuff. So there's two sets that come out. I forget when and from where. They're kind of even from different areas, but there's two different sets, I know.
Okay. I just don't remember there being hearts at the previous show I was at. But
I always just grab all the confetti that's on the floor if I'm, you know, on the floor in the pit. That's one of the things I always try to save from the shows and bring that back with me to kind of remember the tour.
I actually pick up confetti, too. I have some. Anyway.
Make a confession. We pick up confetti after the tour shows.
It's a cheap souvenir.
It is.
And they're just going to throw it away anyway, so you may as well just take
it. You're like saving them from sweeping it up, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to help them clean, really.
Right.
Anyway, so, I mean, do you guys have anything else to say on We're Never Getting Back Together? Like, I don't really have a lot. It was the big circus number. I mean, we really talked about it. Diane, like you said, you know, we always analyze those award show discussions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It was really, really cool.
It was great to see at the very end, you know, they all grab hands and, you know, they do a nice bow all together. It's a perfect little Kodak moment, you know, to get your camera ready for the very end to get that picture.
Exactly. So, I mean, that nearly wraps it up for our Red Tour discussion.
Do you want to touch on the Nashville version of kind of how that ended, at least the very last song?
With Ed Sheeran.
Well, we did talk about that, Steve.
Yes. Oh, we did.
I think we did on
We talked about it 3 weeks ago, right after we left Nashville.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, we talked about it. Ed Sheeran came out dressed as one of the clowns, and it was a complete surprise to Taylor. Pretty funny stuff.
It was.
So what were you saying, Steve? Sorry.
I was just saying that there was some good videos on YouTube of that. So.
Right. So just wrapping it up, talking about the Red Tour generally, do you guys have a favorite performance of the night? Should I just jump out with mine?
Probably. I think mine is I Knew You Were Trouble and Love Story.
Okay, Steve?
I would say I Knew You Were Trouble would be one of mine. We're Never Getting Back Together. See, that's a problem. And even like All Too Well, like.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, I can't pick one. I'm sorry.
It's hard to say, right?
Yeah, I
really liked The Lucky One.
I love really, the production really of that. That was very cool.
And the only reason I ask you is because if people don't have 2 hours to set aside to go on YouTube, pick out a few favorites that they can go watch. That's why I was asking you. And then, finally, before we wrap it up, what do you wish was included on the set list?
Starlight, hands down.
Starlight, yeah.
I wanted that song.
That was a good one.
I wish Stay, Stay, Stay would have stayed.
You wish Stay, Stay, Stay would have stayed.
Yes, I do. I'm happy it was on there for a while, but I guess I can understand why she wanted to take it out.
I don't.
Just because there wasn't anything unique about that performance besides the song. Like, she had the same outfit.
There was. Amos's solo on bass.
Yeah, but she had the same outfit as the Mean performance. Like, there wasn't anything to really, like, clearly separate it from.
Okay. Steve, can you think of anything, or is Starlight unanimous? Like, we all wish it was there.
You know, I really wish that there was, like, you know, maybe something else from the first album, or even, you know, even off of Fearless, you know, just another one of the songs. Like, there were just so many good songs. Maybe I'm reminiscing because I did not see any of Taylor's earlier tours, so I'd love to see some of those songs perform live. Yeah, we got a couple on the B stage, but not, like, you know.
No, I think that's a fair point, Steve. I think, speaking to your point, I think it would have made sense if she included at least one song in the regular lineup that came from the Taylor Swift album, because she did have something from Fearless, something from Speak Now, and most of it from Red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was, in fact, something off of every album except for Taylor Swift, so that would have been a fair point. I would have liked to see it also, so you're not alone with that, but kind of reverting back to Starlight, I don't know if you had anything else to say that I interrupted, because I tend to do that. But with Starlight, one of the reasons I would have liked to see it is because I did envision in my head a stage production of it, because there's such a story to it, and I think there's a lot they could have done with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely would have made for a good number.
Yeah. So if you guys have nothing else to say, I'm going to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think, as sad as I am to say it, we're done with the Red Tour.
Diane's like, please just let me go already.
No.
We've been recording for like an hour. Let's go.
But I think we've had a good discussion.
Yeah.
I think it is time to wrap it up, Adam.
Yeah, I think it was a great discussion. I would love to hear everybody's opinions. I'm sure Diane and Steve would as well, but I don't want to put words in their mouths so they can speak.
I would love for you to tell me what you thought of the Red Tour.
Yes,
okay, guys.
Please tweet us. Send us information of what you think of the show.
So, Steve, how can they do that?
There's a number of different ways that we can do this, Adam.
Let's see if you can get through them all.
Oh boy. I don't know if I can do all of them.
Steve, if you need help, I will help you. So
okay.
Do some of them.
You can go to taylortalk.org. You can
oh my gosh.
Text us, leave us a voicemail.
Steve, would
you're in the United States.
Would you just like me to do it, Steve?
I want to help Steve.
Taylor, connect us. Or you can tweet us at taylortalk13.org. And I did horrible.
Okay.
You can also ask us a question.
We got Facebook too, right?
Facebook.
Oh, and you can ask us questions at ask.fm. What is it? ask.fm/taylortalk13. Why don't you just do it, Adam?
You guys totally butchered my spiel. That was terrible.
Go ahead.
All right, guys, if you want to give us feedback, there are various ways to do it. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us, all of those to taylortalk13. If you want to participate in our Wednesday midweek episodes, they get released on Thursday, so I should say Thursday episodes. Remember, guys, you can go to ask.fm/taylortalk, ask any question regarding Taylor Swift, and we'll do our best to answer it in the most fun conversation possible. Other than that, U.S. and Canadian listeners can phone us in, leave us a voicemail, or text message us. Sorry, I even butchered my own speech. I was trying to show up Steve, and I screwed it up.
Wait, what is it? Something.
U.S. and Canadian listeners can leave us a voicemail or text us to area code 240-31-SWIFT. Anybody in the world can leave us a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. And remember, if you forgot any of those, just visit taylortalk.org. There's a big button at the top that says contact, and it lists everything there for you. So pick your preferred method, give us feedback, let us know how we're doing, submit to our mini segments, or just, I don't know, say hi. That works too.
Hi.
Or if you would like to submit to Adam Is So Vain, you can
yes.
do
no,
that.
No, that segment doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore.
For you, but for me and Steve and
yes.
Maya, you can submit to that at any one of those contact locations. Preferably on Twitter, so then I will see it and then I can put it in the episode.
Okay. Anyway, one last reminder before we get going, guys. I said it at the beginning of the episode. We would love if you guys could find it in your hearts to take a minute of your time and visit podcastawards.com. And nominate us in the People's Choice and Entertainment categories. Remember, all you have to do is go on, type in our name, Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift Podcast, our URL, www.taylortalk.org, and submit that. That is the nomination process, which ends in about a week, roughly, and then voting starts. So if we get the nomination, we will, well, love you guys lots and lots and bunches. It's a huge honor to even be nominated. So if you guys could make that happen for us, it'd be a huge win for the Swifty community, I think. You know, show that we can win awards too, not just Taylor. Well, Taylor Ooh. Also. But, I mean, that'll be a huge win for Taylor if you think about it. Like, if fans
thing.
Within her community become award winning.
Yeah. She's never won a podcast award before. So we could help her do that.
No, so... Again, guys, podcastawards.com. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you. For episode 87, this has been Adam,
Dan,
and Steve.
And we will see you guys on Thursday for our midweek funny unedited episode. All right? Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.